LinkedIn News.
Anyone who has listened to this podcast over the past several years knows that I put a big emphasis on networking. Doing it at all is good, but how can you take it to the next level? We're talking all about it on today's episode of Get Hired, right after this break.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. TIAA makes you a retirement promise, a promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
From LinkedIn News, this is Get Hired, a podcast for the ups and downs and the ever-changing landscape of our professional lives. I'm Andrew Seaman, LinkedIn's Senior Managing Editor for Jobs and Career Development, bringing you conversations with experts who, like me, want to see you succeed at work, at home, and everywhere in between. Networking is the fuel that powers your career. The more you do it, the further you'll get in your professional life. There are ways to supercharge your networking, though, and it's not by attending a networking event and handing out thousands of business cards. Teaching us all about strategic networking today is April Little. She is a well-known executive career coach and a career strategist and an HR professional. You'll likely see her posts on LinkedIn, where she has over 200,000 followers. So, what's the difference between strategic networking and regular old networking? Here's April.
I am an executive career coach and strategist. So I work as a coach, but I also strategize with my clients. So I like to think of myself as their external sponsor at work.
For people who don't know what a sponsor is, it's basically someone that sort of helps push you through work, right? So it's different than a mentor, right?
Yes, it is 100% different. You want both. So you want a sponsor that's somebody that has some influence. They might sit in on that famous 9-box review that you might see in talent management that either happens twice a year or once a year. And that's an individual that has the capacity to help get you advanced at work or, you know, exposure to opportunities. A mentor is different. They can be external to the organization. I think that mentors serve in a much better capacity to help you synthesize workplace conflicts and dynamics. And you can kind of leave the day-to-day play with your sponsor because they likely won't be necessarily your boss, right? So you're going to want to bring work-related issues to them to get exposure on things at work versus maybe the everyday conflicts that you might deal with.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point. And today, we're going to be talking a little bit about sort of maybe how you would find one of those, but not necessarily directly, which is networking, specifically strategic networking. Can you tell us maybe what the difference is between just networking and strategic networking?
So I think networking is simply going around sharing your cue card, introducing yourself. And to me, it's having some superficial kind of relationships with people. And I think that relationship building, which is strategic networking, the difference there is that you've built that relationship over time. It's non-transactional and it serves you when you do need it.
Yeah. And I like to think of it almost like building a safety net. I think a lot of times people, they wait until the last minute. They get laid off and all of a sudden they look in their phone and they go, okay, who can I call?
Yeah.
And it's people that maybe they haven't talked to in years. Whereas strategic networking, you're actively building that over time. It's not when you're laid off. It's when you have a moment to reach out to someone and say, hey, how are things going? I heard that your company went through layoffs. And it's keeping those connections warm to make sure they're there when you need them.
You explained it beautifully. So that's essentially the difference. If you are laid off or in a position that you need to utilize those relationships, you're not saying, hey, I haven't spoken to you in 10 years. How's the kids? By the way, I'm looking for work. The difference is, hey, so glad that we caught up over lunch last week. I want to give you a life update. I'm looking for work. If you have anything, please feel free to share it with me. Or can you make this connection? You know, I have a few second or third degree connections with you. And would you be willing to make an introduction?
I think that's really good advice. And then obviously, if you are listening to this and you haven't networked in a while or you haven't reached out to maybe a member of your network, this should be a sign that you should do that.
This is a sign for you to start doing that, especially in this market. I primarily work and give advice, especially on LinkedIn, around proactive relationship building. And you should be doing that at least a year to even 6 months at minimum before you're maybe ready for your next opportunity. And in my case, I'm not really necessarily looking for opportunities, and many of my colleagues aren't. So we host coffee chats, and I usually will have three of those every month. They're non-transactional. I'm just getting to know members of my community. Sometimes they might be doing some really cool things that maybe I am interested in, but I also can equally give some value in those interactions as well.
And to get into the nuts and bolts of strategic networking, where does a person begin? So if you really sit down and say, okay, I want to be strategic about my networking, I don't want to just rely on those casual conversations necessarily, how do you go about that?
So I think the first thing that you do is have a self-interview to say, what are my gaps or what are my goals? You can look at those interchangeably. And from there, you should take a look at maybe writing that down on a relationship map. And so if anyone here is not familiar with a relationship map, that's essentially managing different areas of your career as a project. So that's mapping out who the person is, the level of influence they are. So internally, maybe you want to grow your career. You want to list out some individuals, their level in the organization. And you shouldn't just look to level up, right? So I think that so many times when we look to network, we're looking to maybe do that up. And I think it's valuable to do that up, down, and across. For example, you might have someone that works at the front desk. They have been there many years. It is not uncommon for leadership to maybe lean over their desk, ask them for their opinions. They're also an influencer too. And it's important to get to know them because they do informally influence the organization. And it's good to get to know them because they have a lot of historical knowledge.
Yeah. And how extensive do you think that relationship map or that self-interview has to be?
I think it can get pretty granular, especially depending on what you want to do with it. Most people who use relationship maps, to be completely honest, 95% of the time, they're looking to do that for some degree of visibility and career advancement. So maybe you work in the product function, or maybe you work in the marketing function, and maybe you want to get to know the sales leader. And a lot of those things are interconnected. And so having those conversations really help you to become a rainmaker at work, where you can add input outside of your function. And that's only going to happen in one-to-one interactions.
Yeah. Depending on the person's seniority level or their position within an organization, it may dictate how often you meet with them. So for example, if you put the CEO on your relationship chart and you feel comfortable maybe asking for a coffee chat, how do you know when it becomes maybe a risk or detrimental to you? Because you don't want to message the CEO and be like, hey, can I have a coffee with you every week? So how do you sort of play that game on the map? How do you sort of gauge that, do you think?
So the way I like to think of it is we zoom in, and if it's peers, maybe you can meet with them monthly, if it's even just one level up. But I think when you start getting two and three levels above, that's when you want to maybe start introducing maybe some quarterly cadences or a biannual cadences, especially for the case of the CEO. That might be, or if a cadence is not something that is possible at that level, that's where some of those strategic relationships come into play. So you can start figuring out the cadences that those key players sit in on. So that way you can start going to those meetings.
That's a really good idea. And how do you suggest you make those asks? Because obviously, like, you talk to your manager if they're internal, but how do you reach out to those people to say, I would love to chat with you? Because sometimes, you know, even if you're higher up in an organization, if someone reaches out to you and say, hey, I'm working on my career advancement, I would love to set up a quarterly talk with you. For them, it might be like, oh, well, talk to your manager about that. So how do you approach those outreaches?
An old manager of mine called it completed staff work. So taking the approach of going to your manager first and making sure that you disclose that into the initial communication. Hey, I talked to my manager. She said it was okay for me to reach out to you. Looking to be really intentional in my vision for my career. And you're someone on the list because you have this degree of experience. And I would love to have a conversation with you. I also work in this function and hope that building a relationship with you could be mutually beneficial and fruitful. So you could start off with something like that, adding a little bit for them as well to say, hey, you know what? I'm looking forward to cross-pollinating a little bit with somebody else in another function.
How do you sort of approach it so it doesn't feel so transactional? Because I think a lot of people, they may show up thinking, I'm going to meet with these people four times, then I'm going to get a promotion next year and I'm good. But I feel like that is the wrong mentality to go in with, because first of all, nothing's ever guaranteed. Second of all, you don't know if those are the people in the room making those decisions. And the third point, I think that sort of taints that conversation because it's like you're waiting for something to happen.
Yes, you bring up a really good point. It is a good idea to go in with a healthy dose of realism that it won't guarantee anything. So in that case, you should still consider building those relationships. And yes, it might feel transactional at first, but as you start to build those relationships, I do think you can drop the cadences when people start to know who you are. I think the other thing is starting to have conversations that might not have to do directly at work. You might want to get to know people. There is something called the art of small talk. And I know that we are putting a lot of labels on people this year about introversion and extroversion. But the truth is that if you have a genuine connection with another human, you're going to be able to openly share and converse with them.
We'll be right back with April Little.
The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by TIAA. In the last 100 years, we've seen financial markets swing, new currencies come and go, decades of savings lost in days, all showing that a retirement plan without a guarantee, quite simply, isn't enough. So more than a retirement plan, TIAA makes you a retirement promise. A promise of a guaranteed retirement paycheck for life. A promise that pays off. Learn more at TIAA.org/promisespayoff.
And we're back with executive career coach and career strategist April Little. You know, something that I always wonder too is when you have these discussions with people, I kind of view it as almost 360 feedback. For those out there who are listening who don't know, 360 feedback is basically you send out a survey to people and you say, listen, can you tell me my strengths, my weaknesses, what I should be working on, what I lack, sort of full honesty to say, if I want to get to the next level, here are the issues you need to address. Here are the things that you're already good on. And I tell people when they go into one-on-ones with people, especially who are their senior managers or skip levels, I'll always say, be honest, say you want a promotion and ask what they see as your weaknesses. Do you think that's a good idea?
It's a good idea to always let your manager know. They're not mind readers. So it's a good idea to put what you want out there so that way you're actively working towards that. Because I do believe if you genuinely want a promotion, there is a way to begin 1Xing and 2Xing your career vision where you're not taking on a ton of new work, but you're starting to have a more strategic thinking cap. Again, cross-pollinating and building relationships is going to allow you to do that because then you're not going to be coming to every conversation or every meeting and brainstorming around just your function. You're going to be able to look at some other adjacent departments and maybe infer or share, hey, I think this team does it this way. And I think it just makes you a much stronger employee. And going back to your earlier question, Andrew, about making sure that it's not so transactional and that you expect something from it, truly doing this is going to help you no matter where you go. So maybe you don't get promoted where you are for many reasons. Maybe the bench is heavy. Maybe the budget's just not there. Maybe you're just not a fit there at the organization. But what I can tell you is in the first 90 days at any organization, you are being sized up for whether you're hypo or high potential. And if you're going into the organization with that same strategic cap on, you are going to accelerate your career if it's not there one way or another.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't look at it as a loss if it doesn't happen.
You know, the first time I ever heard this was from Dori Clark, who is a well-known business coach, and she has a rule that when she meets someone, she does not ask them for anything within that first year. And obviously, that might be a different ballgame when you are at an employer and you're talking to like a skip level or something. But I think that is a good mentality to get into. And at the end of the day, it's going to be good, but it's going to take a while to get there, right?
It is. You need that full geometry for someone to be able to look at you over the full cycle of a calendar year to say, okay, you've been a consistent overachieving performer. Let's have that discussion now. I do think that at the 6-month mark, you could start to say, I could eventually see myself in X role, but I think actively working towards it, that is the most important thing, is because if you approach it genuinely, you're going to be able to build relationships without feeling like I'm doing this for a reward. And a promotion is not a reward.
Yeah. And also, something may not happen while you're at that employer, but maybe that senior vice president that you had a quarterly chat with went off to another company and they're going to be looking for someone to do something you're really good at. And that might pay off later. And that brings me to the idea of networking outside of your organization. So how would you go about that and be strategic about that? You obviously can start where you are, but a lot of people, they might turn to LinkedIn and say, like, here are a bunch of people I should network with. How should someone approach that? Because I feel like that sea is much larger with a lot more fish.
Oh, it is. So the first thing is that you should show up and be active, and you should be looking for other individuals who are also active, because that's a first indicator that they are active and that they might have the time. So before you ask for anything, you should be looking to make that connection, maybe send that initial note, but start engaging on their content, going through their activity, supporting them, doing that for a while before you reach out and say, hey, I'm genuinely interested in some of the things that you've been sharing. I would love to have a coffee chat. And a good friend of mine, we both know her, Ebony. She actually does a delight method with like a Starbucks gift card. Again, there's a lot of saturation. So you do have to get creative to get someone's time and say, coffee's on me. Here's a $5 gift card.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea. And I actually do that periodically with different things. It's just a way to build a relationship. And even though it is somewhat transactional, it shows that you appreciate their time and their work. And how do you then see people who maybe are creating content, who are clearly open to connect because they are putting content out into the world?
They're putting it out.
How do you make that leap? And what do you ask? Because I know some people, they are terrified of putting themselves out there. They're terrified of the rejection. What is your suggestion in that case?
So I always say that the cure to fear and building confidence is taking an action step. And I think that you can do that incrementally. And so if you are actively engaging with this person, checking in, liking, supporting, commenting, that is your kind of first touch in terms of them being familiar with you, starting to see your thought leadership and to see if there's any synergy there or anything in common. And at that point, if you've done that for a while and you're not looking to be transactional here, so you want to do that for a little bit, you don't want to just do it one time. I've seen that. Okay, I'm coming on your stuff. Can we go live together? So you want to genuinely build a relationship where they start to know you, start to recognize you. And I think at that point, I can share just an example. A gentleman, he's a recruiter, and he reached out and he said, hey, we've been supporting each other's content for the last 6 months. I think it's time for a coffee chat. What do you think? And I said, yeah, I think it's time for a coffee chat.
I think that is the opening of a ton of potential. And again, I'm still of the camp that you probably should not go into those conversations with any expectation of anything other than just trying to get to know that person, right?
That is correct. And I find that the conversations that have been most fruitful and the relationships where I regularly have coffee chats with the same individual, sometimes bi-monthly or quarterly, we come to the conversation, we're not even talking about careers or what we do from a day-to-day perspective. They know my kids' names, I know their kids' names.
Yeah.
And I think from there, it allows just that natural introduction of, hey, I notice you're doing this. I'm interested in doing that. And I think it's genuinely being interested in other humans and not just seeing them as a little avatar on your screen on LinkedIn.
And when it comes to these conversations, people sometimes go into conversations as like informational interviews or networking chats. Is there a difference between the two, or should you just view most things as like a hybrid of the two?
So I think that there definitely is a difference in terms of which one yields better results. And I'm always going to go with building a genuine relationship. I would say in the market that we're currently in, it's a good idea to do that. But I do think in better markets, you probably can reach out to someone and say, hey, I'm really interested in what you're doing. You know, would you be open to that? I'm not saying that that's always going to work, but it's kind of like throwing spaghetti at the wall, but it has a higher chance of working versus right now where we are.
And also, I think maybe if you reach out and say, hey, you know, I'm not looking for employment, but I admire what you do. I'm trying to learn a little bit about that field. You show up more as a student, whereas maybe with a networking conversation, you show up somewhat as an equal or someone who's just trying to form a bond, right?
I think when you frame it that way, Andrew, it really puts a lot of power back on you where you don't feel like, okay, I'm like always trying to climb and, you know, somebody's always a little bit of a level higher. And if you go to that conversation and you're just connecting human to human level, I do think that will help you build your confidence.
And something I'm curious to hear your thoughts on is sometimes I'm caught off guard by it is when someone goes, now, what can I do for you? Do you think that's a good question for people to ask?
I do think that it comes from a genuine place of gratitude most times. I don't necessarily see anything wrong with it, but I do think that you have to be careful with how you might do it or if you might seem forceful in doing that, because then you might make the other person feel like, okay, what are you going to be asking me for now?
Yeah. And once you have those relationships established, how do you go back when you need them to say, I got laid off or, you know, I'm really unhappy at my job? How do you actually activate that network to operationalize it?
I think of it the same way as my friends. I don't talk to them every day. Some of them I actually check in with every 6 months.
Yeah.
And it's like you never left off. And I think if you have an established relationship where there's been a few cadences and calls, at that point, you have earned an opportunity to say, hey, I hope you're well. I wanted to give you a life update. I'm on the market. If you have anything, please feel free to share any contacts with me. I think the other thing is not directly asking them to take the onus.
Yeah.
You're just saying, hey, if you have anything, I'm willing to do the work. So I think it's positioning. And I think that if you've established that relationship, I think people don't have an issue making any introductions for you.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, you give them the soft out almost. If you aren't in a position to help, but, you know, if you can, I appreciate it. But also the flip side is you also have to be there for that person if you expect them someday down the line to help you.
100%. You have to be exactly what you want other people to be for you.
Yeah. I remember I interviewed for a job many years ago. And honestly, it was like the employer itself was the issue where I gave a salary expectation. They apparently did not look at it once. And then we get to the negotiation process and we were just so far apart. Like we both were like, okay, we know this isn't happening. And I remember that the hiring manager, though, we got along really well. And even though we don't talk, I was getting outreaches all the time from other positions being like, hey, this person recommended you or this person recommended you. And to this day, if that person ever emailed me and said, hey, you know, I'm looking for something, I would do what I could because I remember what an advocate they were for me, even when I wasn't asking for it. So if you expect someone down the road to help you when you need it, you also have to show up for them, right?
Absolutely. I actually see amazing examples of that every day where I'll see a hiring manager posting on LinkedIn saying they need someone and I see tags. I will also tag. Sometimes, even though I'm an entrepreneur, I do get calls from recruiters. If I'm not looking, I do give them the resume or name of the other person. I think that's how you genuinely pay it forward for other people.
Yeah. And oftentimes, like when people reach out to me and I'm not looking, I do say, you know, here's a name. It lets them know you're thinking of them. And also for the recruiter, you know, down the road, you could be like, hey, I gave you names.
Yeah. And sometimes even the recruiter's like, hey, you gave me some names before. Yeah. Can you give me some more?
Yeah. And then obviously, this is something where you have to keep doing this, right? Because if you don't, it's that atrophy that sort of I talked about. You get comfortable at your job, your network sort of dries up. And then when you need it, you're sort of there alone, right?
Yeah, you're coming out and you are making your first announcement in real life and online saying, you know, after 2 years of just being cold, I'm looking for a job. That's not going to work. So there is some work to it. And again, I think going back to putting a cadence on it, I think when we think about peer level or closer proximity, you can think about having more frequent cadences. And I think the further person is away from you, you're going to want to think about having maybe a quarterly cadence or looking for an opportunity to be in a meeting with them.
So many people who listen to this podcast, they don't have jobs now. They're looking for something. What is your networking advice for someone who is job searching now and says, listen, this is all great for when I had a job, but, you know, I'm kicking myself now. But what should someone in that situation do?
If you're actively looking for work right now, the first thing that you should consider doing is making a short list of different companies that you want to work at and look at any second degree connections that you have, because chances are you have something in common with them or you have someone else that you have in common with them that can make an introduction. But I also think you should go through your good old Rolodex and you should look at any classmates that you worked with, any past hiring managers that maybe you had a great relationship with, any past leaders, anyone that you've worked with in some kind of capacity, even if it's school. They should also be on your list to start warming up those relationships. But there is one other option here. If you're not working for networking, sometimes it's giving your time, volunteering. I had to do that when I graduated with my degree. I had to volunteer as a recruiter before I actually got a recruiter job. And it didn't take a lot of time, but I was able to build some really good contacts. And then I was able to land a role at a staffing agency. And so I think people really underestimate the power of kind of just giving some of your time. I'm not saying a ton of time. I personally only volunteer 2 hours a week on a Friday. So that is a possibility for you if you're trying to break into a really saturated market.
Yeah, I really like that. And the other thing I think I want to emphasize is you're never starting from scratch. Even if you say, listen, I have not networked, I have not talked to even the person who sits next to me at work in 2 years, there's still people in your life who you could talk to, or someone who, even if you don't necessarily talk to them regularly, maybe you see each other every morning when you're picking up your coffee and you could strike up a conversation. You could just tell them your story.
Yep.
And that plants the seed. And if you live a life outside of your job, there are people that you wouldn't consider part of your network who are. So like if you go to a PTA meeting and you sit in the back with another parent and talk stuff about everyone else, that person's part of your network. You could start there and you could ask if they know anyone, and slowly sort of that concentric circle, it's like a ripple on a pond. They get bigger and eventually you will hit someone who knows someone in an industry, right?
Right. And I want to just add on to that, Andrew, that you should be open to what the possibilities could bring. So it could bring you a fractional role. It could bring you a contract role from networking. Sometimes you don't always get the package specialist manager, lead director title that you're going after, but it might come to you in the form of a contract role, a fractional role, maybe just an introductory conversation, maybe even just projects. And I've seen projects turn into full-time work.
Yeah, I think that is such a good point, because if your field of vision is so narrow, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities that don't fall within that window. And there could be good opportunities there that maybe you haven't considered. So it's not saying that you have to sort of be open to anything, because I think a strategic, specific job search is always going to be a winner and land you in a better job and position down the road. But it doesn't mean that you can't consider other opportunities, right?
That's correct. And I also think that sometimes professionals might find themselves in a position where they're like, I settled for every job. And I think it's reframing it, especially if that job title doesn't come to you that next time, that maybe this is your aperture in. Maybe you can move around when you get there. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to hop around if you actually need to. But I think it's being open to what that re-engagement or that, you know, re-entry to the workforce might look like for you.
Yeah. And is there anything else that you think is important to leave the listeners with?
The thing that I want listeners to really think about when it comes to relationship building is you want to start doing it now. So if you're listening to this podcast and you know that maybe in a year's time, you might be looking externally, or you know that you might be looking internally, start off with that relationship map and start a year in advance, because at that point you have built some genuine non-transactional relationships. The other thing that you should also do is let your manager know. So that way, that's not a blocker for you to build those relationships. You can have some completed staff work going on. So if someone comes back and says, did you talk to your manager? That's all set. So that way you're not creating any roadblocks for you. So I want to leave you with, be proactive with building relationships.
I think that's a great place to end on. Thank you so much, April.
Thank you.
That was executive career coach and career strategist April Little. Remember, it's up to you to put her advice into practice. Still, you always have a community backing you up and cheering you on. Connect with me and the Get Hired community on LinkedIn to continue the conversation. Also, if you liked this episode, please take a moment to leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts. It helps people like you find the show. And don't forget to click that follow, subscribe, or whatever other button you find to get our podcast delivered to you every Wednesday. Because we'll be continuing these conversations on the next episode, right here, wherever you like to listen. Get Hired is a production of LinkedIn News. This episode was produced by Alexis Ramdow. Grace Rubin is our associate producer. Asa Gidron engineered our show. Joe DeGiorgi mixed our show. Dave Pond is head of news production. Enrique Montalvo is our executive producer. Courtney Koop is the head of original programming for LinkedIn. Dan Roth is the editor-in-chief of LinkedIn. And I'm Andrew Seaman. Until next time, stay well and best of luck.